Russia announces plans to deliver its S-300 anti-aircraft missile systems to Syria under a deal it signed with Damascus years ago. Russia's deputy foreign minister has called the systems a stabilizing factor. But the move has been sharply criticized by Israel and the United States. Tel Aviv has even threatened to use force to stop Russian missile system deliveries. Here's more.
Israel intensifies its war rhetoric, this time under the pretext of a Russian plan to deliver its S-300 missile defense systems to Syria. Israel's Minister of Military Affairs says the anti-aircraft system this time for Syria has not yet left Russia, but Israel will know how to act if it does leave. He has even threatened that Tel Aviv could use force to prevent the delivery. Israel's Strategic Affairs and Intelligence Minister has also warned against the Russian missile defense systems, saying they could be used against Israeli interests.
And we are very concerned. And we don't understand. We think that this behavior of supplying such arms to Damascus.
The Russian Foreign Ministry has said Moscow will deliver the sophisticated systems to deter foreign military intervention in Syria. The announcement comes as Western countries are enhancing their support for insurgents in Syria. Damascus blames the insurgents for the two-year-long unrest, which the UN says has left tens of thousands of people dead. The sale and purchase of weapons are not new in the international arena. The hue and cry from Israeli officials seems meaningless, as Tel Aviv itself is the world's major receiver and supplier of lethal weapons. Meanwhile, the Russian decision cannot be seen without seeing it in the context of NATO's missile deployments in Turkey, as well as frequent U.S. and Israeli war games in the region. Just days after U.S.-led naval exercises in the Persian Gulf, Israel has started its military buildup in the occupied Golan Heights by launching a massive drill over there. The latest Israeli exercise comes amid escalating tension between Damascus and Tel Aviv following recent deadly Israeli strikes on Syrian soil. Damascus has condemned the attacks as a violation of its sovereignty. It's too early to say if Israel is trying to open up another war front. However, it may not be wrong to say that the Syrian crisis is taking a new twist amid the West's unrelenting support for the insurgents fighting in Syria and the upcoming Geneva II conference. It seems Western countries are pushing for their own aims. They've spoken of military action against Damascus time and again, saying Syrian President Bashar al-Assad must resign. In the latest sign of support for the militants, the EU has lifted an arms embargo on the insurgents. The US has supported the EU's move, but Russia has warned that it will harm the prospects of success in Geneva II peace conference. The cost of the ongoing conflict in Syria has already been high. As the Syrian crisis drags on, concerns are growing that it will affect not only the whole region, but also the world.
Let's talk more about this. Let's go to Montreal and talk to Professor Michael Chosudovsky with the Center for Research on Globalization. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Chosudovsky, today we have Israel threatening Washington, possibly with force. Moscow, that is. How does Israel play into this equation, and how much physical involvement can we expect from Israel?
Well, first, I should say that Israel is supporting the insurgency. In other words, it is supporting al-Qaeda in Syria. This is not known to public opinion, but through the Golan Heights, it is supporting terrorist units of al-Nusra, which are fighting the Syrian government. It has logistics, weapons supplies, Israeli vehicles going into Syrian territory. It also has a hospital facility for the rebels located in the Golan Heights. So that, in effect, right from the outset, Israel has been involved in supporting the various factions, so-called Islamist factions, which are, as we know, mercenaries trained in Qatar and Saudi Arabia. So that, in effect, we have to ask ourselves, who are the main military actors in the Syrian war theater? The al-Nusra rebels, which allegedly represent the opposition, are supported by the Western Military Alliance and Israel. These are the foot soldiers of the Western Military Alliance. and they're waging a war against the Syrian people. Now, when the European Union decides to lift the embargo, the arms embargo, what they really have in mind, it's not to say that they haven't been supplying the rebels with weapons all the time, they have, but what they have in mind is to channel military aid to this mercenary force, which is supported by foreign powers. That is a very different proposition to the Russians or Iran, for that matter, through bilateral agreements, providing military assistance to a sovereign country and to a government. And in effect, what we are also dealing with is well, it's illegal under international law, but it is also in violation of U.S. anti-terrorist legislation.
Indeed. Now, Mr. Tosadovsky, recently U.S. Senator John McCain went to Syria via Turkey. How do you interpret this visit?
Well, John McCain, who is Secretary of State, is actually in blatant violation of U.S. guidelines on anti-terrorism. There's an anti-terrorist list. There's a list of terrorist organizations, which is made up by the State Department. And John Kerry is negotiating, interfacing with representatives of that terrorist organization. And the same thing is true for John McCain when he crosses into Syria. Or the same thing is true for the former ambassador to Syria, Robert Stephen Ford, who is also supporting the terrorists. So that we have to distinguish between military aid through official channels from government to government, which is what the Russians are providing to Syria, and on the one hand, and the type of assistance which Israel, Britain, France, the United States are channeling to an illegal organization according to their own criteria. Right. So in other words, they should be arrested on anti-terrorist charges because they're on violation of international law.
So right. Now, Mr. Josadovsky, I mean, despite the fact that the European Union has lifted an arms embargo on Syria, how optimistic are you that the Geneva II talks would bear fruit and resolve the Syrian crisis politically?
Well, I think that the Western leaders are in effect attempting to build peace and democracy by threatening war. Essentially, that's what they're doing, is they're heightening the threats, they're channeling weapons to the terrorists. Incidentally, those terrorists have been decimated by Syrian armed forces, so that, in effect, the Western military alliance is in a dead end, so that they are now considering other options.
Right.
But essentially, if they were concerned and sincerely committed to the peace process, they would immediately cease supporting a terrorist organization which is linked to Al-Qaeda which is involved in atrocities and killings in Syria.
All right. I'm sorry I have to leave it there. Many thanks to Michael Tosadovsky from Montreal. Thanks for your time there, sir.